Now, after vision comes discipline. Let's explore it in greater depth. Discipline is just as important as vision, though it is second in the chain. Discipline represents the second creation. It's the executing, the making it happen, the sacrifice entailed in doing whatever it takes to realize that vision. Discipline is willpower embodied. Peter Drucker once observed that the first duty of a manager is to define reality. Discipline defines reality and accepts it. It is the willingness to get totally immersed in it rather than deny it. It acknowledges the stubborn, brute facts of things as they are. Dag Hammarskjöld, the Secretary General of the United Nations, once said, "When the morning's freshness has been replaced by the weariness of midday, when the leg muscles quiver under the strain, the climb seems endless, and suddenly nothing will go quite as you wish, it is then that you must not hesitate." And Warren Bennis said, "Leadership is the capacity to translate vision into reality." Without vision and a sense of hope, accepting reality may be depressing or discouraging. Happiness is sometimes defined as the ability to subordinate what you want now for what you want eventually. This personal sacrifice, the process of subordinating today's pleasure for a greater, longer-term good, is exactly what discipline is all about. Most people equate discipline with an absence of freedom. They say shoulds kill spontaneity. There's no freedom in have to. I want to do what I want to do. That's freedom, not duty. In fact, the opposite is true. Only the disciplined are truly free. The undisciplined are slaves to moods, appetites, and passions. Can you play the piano? I can't. I don't have the freedom to play the piano. I never disciplined myself. I preferred playing with my friends to practicing, as my parents and piano teacher wanted me to do. I don't think I ever envisioned myself as a piano player. I never had a sense of what it might mean, the kind of freedom to create magnificent art that might be valuable to myself and to others throughout my entire life. What about the freedom to forgive? Or the freedom to ask forgiveness? What about the freedom to love unconditionally? The freedom to be a light, not a judge. A model, not a critic. Think of the discipline involved in these. Discipline comes from being discipled to a person or a cause. The great educator Horace Mann once said, "In vain do they talk of happiness, who never subdue an impulse in obedience to a principle. He who never sacrificed a present for a future good, or a personal to a general one, can speak of happiness only as the blind speak of color." Close quote. I remember the initial struggle I faced as a 50-year-old university professor in deciding to leave the safe haven and comfort zone of university professorship to set up my own business. If it weren't for the vision of the greater good I might do, we never would have had the discipline to make the sacrifice and begin the self-denying processes of establishing a new business, taking out a second mortgage, and going deeply into debt. We even acquired a new tongue-in-cheek motto, "Happiness is a positive cash flow," and sweated through each payroll for years. We could never have endured this difficult period if we hadn't had the vision of what was possible and the discipline to hang in there. I truly believe that discipline is the trait common to all successful people. I admire the work of insurance executive Albert E. N. Gray, who spent a lifetime trying to discover the common denominator of success. Finally, he came to the simple but profound realization that although hard work, good luck, and astute human relations are all important, the successful person has formed the habit of doing things that failures don't like to do. They don't like doing them either, necessarily, but their dislike is subordinated by the strength of their purpose, their vision. People who lack discipline and who are unable to subordinate and sacrifice simply play at working. In a sense, every workday becomes like a long, masked ball. They spend the day creating smoke screens, emails detailing what they're working on, phone messages reporting on the status of projects, long meetings to discuss how to do things. Mind-numbing work. Generally, people who spend their time making excuses are those who lack focus and discipline. Setbacks are inevitable. Misery is a choice. There are always reasons, never an excuse.